Reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 24, on page 224 of the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, and that's on page 172 of the New Testament. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not sharing the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not sharing the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we are all partake of the one bread. And the third reading this morning is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And it's on page 156 of the New Testament. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do we not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jim. Let us turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. O God, it is with boldness that we approach your throne this morning. You have made the way clear through the blood of Jesus so that we can have confidence, and we can have confidence as one body together. So now as we approach your word, again we approach it with confidence, knowing that you have given us your Holy Spirit to be interpreter, to be the one who gives revelation, who opens the eyes of our hearts and minds, that we might see you more clearly and understand you and understand what it means to follow you more fully. We commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today, number 7 in the series, The Fellowship. I hope that you have been learning, growing in your appreciation for this important Greek word, koinonia, translated most often fellowship, but also translated partnership, sharing, communion, things like this. I hope that you've grown in your appreciation for the fellowship that we share as Christians over the past 6 weeks. Truly, we share many, many benefits through God's grace, not the least of which is the capacity to experience deep community. Now, to experience deep community, truth is, it is a challenge, and it requires something of us, doesn't it? I mean, we can't just gather with a bunch of people and expect to experience deep community. What needs to happen for that deep community to grow among us? A real sharing of life, right? An honesty, an authenticity. When we talk about community, however, in Alaska, when we talk about community in a do-it-yourself, very independent state like Alaska, with Alaskans who want to go out and cut their own place out in the woods somewhere and live off the land, it can sound a little oxymoronic, right? Like it's a little bit of a contradiction. Community in Alaska. In fact, a few years ago, we had Michael Feldman here in Fairbanks. Anyone, you familiar with Michael Feldman? The What Do You Know? What do you know? Not much. How about you, right? So he's on NPR on Saturdays, and he was here talking up at UAF, and he said about Alaska, what's not to like? Right? Amen to that. Yeah? What's not to like? He says, and then speaking of community, he says, you're with people who want to be among people who don't want to be among people. What a sense of community that builds. I thought that was a quotable quote. You're among people that don't want to be among people. What a sense of community that builds. Now, we know that that's not true here, right? We want to be together because I see week after week you showing up here. You know, I see in the life of our body people saying, I want to be a part of a life group. I want to meet on a regular weekly basis and build deep, meaningful relationships. I'm willing to come into a place where I'm willing to open up my life and be vulnerable before others and have them pray for me. And I want to pray for others. I want to experience community. And mainly because this world is so alienating. We are a lonely people in our culture. Study after study has shown it. In fact, it's a kind of an interesting reality that it's in cities, in big cities especially, that loneliness is pervasive. Why would that be? You would think that the more the merrier, right? The more people together, the less loneliness there would be. But in fact, it kind of works the opposite. And that is why I think small groups are so important. Life groups are so important. It's because when we get together in the small group, it's harder to be quiet. It's harder to not open up your life and share your life. We value Christian community in all of its dimensions. And what we've been seeing over these last 6 weeks is that it is God's rich covenant of grace that forms the very bedrock of Christian community. It is because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ that we can draw near to Jesus, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit. It is because of the grace of God that is poured out upon us when we receive this grace that the way is made open not only for a relationship with God, but for a relationship with one another, that the walls, the barriers, the hostility that might exist between peoples is torn down and forgiveness comes in and grace comes in. The triune God, as we saw last week, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the very glue that makes it possible for us to know God and to be reconciled to God and to be reconciled to one another. And so community. We are a covenant community by the grace of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:4-9. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in Him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By Him, you were called into the fellowship of His Son. By Him, you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, that's a game changer. When we are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, everything changes. I know, even as I look through the sanctuary and I see faces that have stories behind them. Stories of how coming into a relationship with the living God in Jesus Christ has been a game changer for your life. Really, it has altered everything. People who were going one way suddenly were going another way. Some were walking in a path of real bondage, and because of Jesus Christ, they've been set free. People were living with guilt and shame, and because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ poured out on the cross, that guilt and shame has been eradicated, and they know confidence before God. They know a life of cleansing. That is a great thing. When I think of all that Jesus has done for us, honestly, I marvel. Hebrews chapter 10 reminds us that the blood of Jesus enables us to approach God with this confidence and full assurance of faith. We are made clean by the blood of Jesus. And that's one of the things that the Lord's Supper celebrates. It's one of the things that baptism celebrates. Two sacraments that we're celebrating today. It's a tremendous gift. We have one another, and together we share the fullness of God. Mary and I were on a walk, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, up at Birch Hill. And we were just talking about what a wonderful and truly unusual community the church is. What do we benefit from in the church? Where else in the world do people from all ages, races, educational backgrounds, language groups, socioeconomic backgrounds come together as one people week after week in order to do a number of different things? Think about it. What we do together, we come together to worship the Lord. And where else do you go and you sing praise to God? It's kind of a funny thing, you know? I mean, you don't go to the Elks Club to sing, do you? You don't go to any club or to any gathering of people, really, to sing songs of praise to God, except the church. In this place, we come together as one to confess our sins, to admit something, that we are in need, that we are weak in ourselves to deal with the sin nature that dwells in us. And so we come together, and it's a radical thing. We say, God, I have wandered from you. I have rebelled against you. I have cussed. I have lied. I have stolen something. I am guilty before you. And then we hear this word of mercy poured out for us freely in Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that happens week after week in this place. In this place, we come together and we profess our faith. Sometimes it's the Apostles' Creed, like today. We're going to confess our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed. We are saying we are one in this, that we believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin. We declare this together in this place. And then we pass a plate and we say, you know, I'm going to put some of my hard-earned money into this plate as an act of worship. We are saying, I want to support the work of God in the world. And I want to say that money is not my God, that God is my God. And I want to share, I want to be a partner in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he has called me in his mercy and made me new. That's a beautiful thing. We pray to God. And sometimes as we share and pass the mic around or on the prayer chain on Facebook, there's real heartfelt vulnerability. I see it. I hear it. Don't you? Some real honesty. I am an addict. I need God's healing deliverance in my life. I'm struggling. My marriage is struggling. And we hear these things, and it's like it's what happens in the community of faith. There's an honesty and a vulnerability. Sometimes, you know, we travel on mission trips to different parts of the world. It costs money. We have to, the youth group are like working to earn money to travel and do mission this summer. And we send mission teams to places like Indonesia and different places like that. We support people all the way around the world with our giving. It's a beautiful thing that we get to partner. That because we are a gathered community, a covenant community, every single one of us in this church that give are doing ministry among Muslims all the way around the world. We are working with leprosy victims. We are working with orphans. We are doing work in Afghanistan, sharing the gospel with people in Afghanistan, working all over, doing all kinds of things. And you could say, I'm a part of this. I get to partner in this. We are partners in the gospel. We meet in small groups. We study the Bible. We bear one another's burdens. We help one another to nurture and grow our children in the faith. That's what we do in community. We're a covenant community. It's the nature of the community of Christ, and it's an amazing thing. Don't you think it is? Yeah. It's the nature of the covenant community that is founded, empowered, and gathered together by God Himself. Jesus said, or Paul said, you are the body of Christ, and each individually a member of it. And God has given the manifestation of the Spirit to each for the common good. That He has given gifts in this body and in every expression of the body of Christ in the world. He has given spiritual gifts for the building up of that body and for the witness of that body in the community and in the world. That's a beautiful thing. That God empowers us. He enables us and He sends us out. So, I love that. I love that. This covenant community has made many mistakes down through the history of the world. And some of us are really familiar with that, mistakes that have been made. But the flip side of that is that this covenant community we call the church has been the impetus for the starting of hospitals, the whole healthcare movement, orphanages, leprosy clinics, educational institutions, the universities. Those have been birthed out of the church. They didn't get birthed out of secularism. They were birthed out of the church. That is a powerful thing, the covenant community that God uses in the world to make such a profound difference. Today we do something else that is peculiar to the church. We receive new members into the life of the church, and we are baptizing 5 of our young people. People who want to stand up, all of them want to stand up and say, I turn from sin and renounce evil and its power in the world. How important is that? That is so important that we declare that evil will not have the final word. That's what we do in the covenant community. We declare that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We will seek to follow Him with our whole life and give ourselves to Him exclusively. That is so important. We make promises as a community to support those who are joining the church, who are being baptized. We say, I will pray for this person. I will provide for their spiritual nurture. I will come alongside them and help bear their burdens. That is a valuable thing. You get a little bit of that in a work community, don't you? The bearing of burdens, but not like the church. Not like the church. Presbyterian pastor told the story of his early days when he served a small country church in a very conservative part of the country. Now, there was a young woman who began attending that church, and she was a single mom. And she joined the church, and soon afterwards she presented her child to receive the sacrament of baptism. Now, this child had been born out of wedlock, and in this very conservative rural community at the time especially, it was a real scandal. And so The day of the baptism, the woman stood alone before the congregation. The pastor was up there, the woman with her little child born out of wedlock. And the pastor was kind of going through the liturgy of the baptism and came to that point in the liturgy where there's actually a place for godparents and sponsors of a child to be asked questions. They're asked, will you stand by this child? Will you support this child and pray for this child and provide for this child's spiritual nurture? And it's asked particularly to godparents and to sponsors of a child that's being baptized. Well, so the pastor was kind of just going through the ritual, you know, not really thinking. And he read this out loud and he thought, oh, wait, there's no one to stand by this woman. But the words had already left his mouth. And then to his surprise, it was as if in one, the whole congregation stood to their feet and said, we will. We will stand by this child. We will pray for this child. We will provide for the spiritual nurture of this child. We will serve this child by teaching Sunday school and VBS and doing these types of things. We will provide a structure and a safe place for this child. What a beautiful thing. That is what the community of the covenant community of Christ does. We try to take that very seriously. And when we don't take it seriously, well, I think that's sin. And we need to say, God, have mercy on me and forgive me and help me to begin to walk anew, caring for the ones that I have made promises to care for. Our children, our youth, and our adult new believers need the support and help of the body of Christ to grow strong in the Lord. It's something that we can do. Now, baptism is a sign that we are the covenant community of Christ. And when we celebrate a baptism, we all get to renew our baptismal vows together. That's something we do as the covenant community. The Lord's Supper also is a reminder that all of us stand in need of the grace of God. As the covenant community, we need His forgiving mercy every day. And every month, we come together and remember together in community that Jesus Christ took our sins in His body and went to the cross and shed His blood for our forgiveness and our inclusion into the church. That's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. In just a moment here, I'm going to invite the confirmation class to come forward. And together with the confirmation class, those who have not been baptized, so the confirmants have been, they were baptized as babies or as young children, and now they are making public the affirmation of their baptismal vows. They are saying, I own this. These vows that my parents made on my behalf, I personally own it. Five of our youth haven't been baptized. I'm going to ask them the same questions, the baptismal questions, for them to answer affirmatively, and we're going to all recite our faith together by reciting the Apostles' Creed. Normally, we baptize before we receive into membership, but today, we're going to baptize after we receive into membership. But they're going to all be received into membership today, and so at this point, I would like to invite our confirmation and baptismal candidates to come forward to be received into membership and to answer those questions. Yeah. You can come right out, right around the front of the pulpit. There you go. All right. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he said. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded. And remember this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Hear also these words. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into God's marvelous light. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. In these baptismal vows, we remember, or we prepare, to be buried with Christ in baptism, to die to our old life, and then to be raised in the resurrection life with Christ, to walk a new life. Obeying the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and confident of God's promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to him. God frees us from the power of sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. So let us all remember with joy our baptism as today we celebrate this sacrament. If you are going to be baptized today, would you just raise your hand? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it. 5 of them. All right. Eli? McKinley? Hunter? Kyle? And Harrison? Do you desire to be baptized? Okay. Now, do you, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Eli, McKinley, Hunter, Kyle, and Harrison by word and by example, with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Jesus and to be faithful members of his church? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Okay. Let's see now. There's a list in your bulletin. But I'm going to read these. Ainsley Benson, Allison Benson, Eli Brovolt, Hunter Colasacco, and McKinley Colasacco, Ava, David, Hannah Denton, Carla and Kyle Lundberg, Jerry Perkins, Harrison Riggs, and Andre Thies are presented to make public profession of their faith, reaffirming or affirming their baptismal covenant, into which some of them already were baptized and others are going to be baptized. We rejoice that you now desire to declare your faith and to share with us in our common ministry here at First Press. Through baptism, we enter the covenant that God has established, and in that covenant, God gives us new life. We are guarded from evil and nurtured by the love of God and God's people. In embracing that covenant, we choose whom we will serve by turning from sin and evil and turning to Jesus Christ. I ask you, therefore, today to reject sin and to renounce evil and to profess your faith in Jesus Christ and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all evil and powers in the world which defy God's righteousness and love? If so, say, I do. Do you renounce the ways of sin that separate you from the love of God? What?
I do.
Will you seek to be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love to your life's end? If so, say, I do.
I do.
All right, that was good, wasn't it? Okay, with the whole church then, let us confess our faith. Please stand and let us recite the Apostles' Creed together, which is right there if you need to look.
We've got it. We memorized it.
But the confirmation class has memorized it, right? So no looking for you guys, okay? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
Maker, living. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Today you have publicly professed your faith. And now I ask, will you be a faithful member of this congregation, share in its worship and in service through your prayers and your gifts, your study and service, and so fulfill your calling to be followers of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I do. All right, let's pray over this group. And if we have any elders who want to come forward and just lay hands on our group, elders, formally or you're not serving now or serving now, feel free to come up. Could I ask all of you to kneel on the front step? To kneel, to turn around and get on your knees in humble submission.
I'm going to go be on the wrong side.
Oh, he'd get behind him. Let's pray. Oh, loving God, we just thank you. I want to thank you for each one of these individuals who have publicly declared their faith. We just ask that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, with power, with gifts for service, that you would let them know this day that they have been sealed in the covenant of grace, that they belong to you before they belong to anything else or anyone else, that you are their Lord, their master. And I just pray, Father, that you would just graft them deeply into the community of God's people, that they would know the love of the Father, and that they would make the love of the Father known to this world. So we just commit them to you in the mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, elders, you can go be seated, and we're going to give them a Bible verse at this time. Come on back up on the front step. Do you have the mic, Dave?
I do.
Oh, let's read it out loud.
Oh, okay.
Oh, here we go. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand.
Kyle. And our God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Kyle, welcome. I'm going to shake your hand.
Carla, make every effort to support your faith with goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, kindness, and love. For if these things are yours and are increasing in you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Carla.
Andre.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation.
Amen. Andre, welcome.
Oh, you're not Hannah. I didn't have time to rearrange everything. Hang on. I didn't know what order you guys were going to be sitting and standing in. McKinley. Forgetting what lies behind and straining on towards what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus.
Welcome, McKinley.
Hunter. Be an imitator of God as his beloved child, and live in love as Christ loved you and has given himself up for you, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God.
Hunter, congratulations. Welcome.
Eli, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted.
Eli, welcome. Congratulations.
Harrison. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you.
Harrison, congratulations. Welcome.
Ava, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you.
Mm. Ava, congratulations and welcome.
Allie, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and let your life overflow with gratitude.
Hmm. Allie, congratulations and welcome.
Alton, such is the confidence we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything is coming from us. Our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant.
Mm. Alton, congratulations and welcome.
It does have sparkles on it. That's the way the craft paper came. I don't know. Ainsley, but we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us.
Mm. Ainsley, congratulations and welcome.
Hannah, for the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Mm. Hannah, congratulations and welcome. Let's welcome our new members. Okay, you can go be seated.